two columns in my Bible. Let's read this. It's a just a glorious, true account, a glorious account of history of Joseph. We saw him a few weeks ago, Genesis chapter 37, and his brothers hated him, and he had some dreams that, in essence, were dreams that showed his brothers kind of submitting to Joseph, bowing down to him, and man, they hated him. And Jacob sent Joseph to go tend his and see how his brothers were doing in their shepherding, and they came up with a scheme to kill him, and then it was ultimately decided that they would sell him 20 pieces of silver. They got some money for it. They took back Joseph's a coat of many colors, dipped it in goat's blood. While they didn't tell Jacob that an animal killed him, they let Jacob conclude that, and Jacob was in great sorrow. Well, Genesis chapter 39, by the time we get to the end, it's going to be 11 years. And so just put that into perspective, that Joseph was 17 years old when he was sold into slavery. By the time we get to the end of chapter 39, he would be roughly 28 years old. And I tell you all that to say, wow. Oh, God, this, it would come across so disrespectful with what came through. I was going to say, wow, God's slow. But it's you got to understand, God doesn't move the way we want him to, but he's right on time, right? So it would be so disrespectful. If you know me, I wasn't trying to be disrespectful with that thought, but it probably was. It is, we just must understand. So if, in case I forget this, when you see Joseph standing up for God and proclaiming why he won't do this great sin because of his great God, that wasn't 5 minutes after he was sold into slavery. That was 11 years down the road. And Joseph had a testimony to Potiphar that Potiphar knew, I'm being blessed because of your God. And I think it's because Joseph was not quiet about his love for his God. And so, 11 years. Let's read Genesis chapter 39, verse 1. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. Verse 2. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master, that would be Potiphar, saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, in the sight of Potiphar. And he served him, and he made him overseer over his house, and all that he had put into his hand. And it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house, and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had, Potiphar did, in Joseph's hand. And he knew not aught he had, save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well-favored. That goodly person and well-favored, it talks about his shape and his look. He was model material. That's what, when it goes into that goodly person and well-favored, he was about as good-looking as you get. Right? And so, rare for the Bible to say that. It really only says that about two people, David and Absalom. Now, it says that Moses was a beautiful baby, but apparently he got ugly because it never mentions that again. I'm not sure. But it is David, Absalom, and Joseph. And that'll explain part of the story as well. God brings that up, and then you'll see why in verse 7. It came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, lie with me. But he refused and said unto his master's wife, behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house. He knew that. He knew that Potiphar had no clue what he had, and he didn't take advantage of it. He refused, verse 8, and said unto his master's wife, behold, my master wotteth not, or doesn't know what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I. Neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness in sin against God? What a testimony. And it came to pass, as she spake to Joseph day by day, that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her. Verse 11. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men of the house there within. And she caught him by his garment, saying, lie with me. And he left his garment in her hands and fled and got him out. And it came to pass, when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and was fled forth, that she called unto the men of the house and spake unto them, saying, see, he hath brought in an Hebrew unto us to mock us. He came in unto me to lie with me, and I cried with a loud voice. She was lying through her teeth, but she was mad. He wouldn't listen to her. Verse 15. She's continuing, and it came to pass, when he heard that I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled and got him out. Just to be clear, they would wear robes, so he left in his undergarments, right? So she had such a grip on it, he said, I'm out of here, and he ran. What a great lesson for many of us. And in verse 16, and she laid up his garment by her until the Lord came home, until Potiphar comes home. Verse 17. And she spake unto him, unto Potiphar, according to these words, saying, the Hebrew servant, which thou hast brought unto us, came in unto me to mock me. And it came to pass, as I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled out. It came to pass, when his master heard the words of his wife, which she spake unto him, saying, after this manner did thy servant to me, that his wrath was kindled. Potiphar's wrath was kindled. And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound. And he was there in prison. But the Lord was with Joseph. Even if Joseph didn't feel it. You know it? You think Joseph was feeling like, God is with me, I'm in jail. Amen. John the Baptist wasn't feeling like God was with him. Remember, he asked, he says, are you the one? I don't know if Joseph knew or not. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy. Mercy! Well, we're going to have a good time with that. And gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. The keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison. And whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him. And that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. Joseph at Potiphar's house, just a simple title. Let's just see what the Lord has. A couple of things. One, the name Potiphar means devoted to the sun. He is likely connected with the Egyptian religious system, and he was named after it as well. It calls him, look at verse 1, it calls him the captain of the guard. That would have been like, he would have been part of the security force of Pharaoh. He would have been like the chief of police. He would have been very, very important. Now, interesting, an officer of Pharaoh, I didn't know this. That Hebrew word shows up 42 times in the Old Testament. The number one way it's translated is not officer. It's eunuch. You understand that Pharaoh, when he had important people, he wanted them to be focused, not distracted, and fully attentive to all of his needs. It is not for sure that Potiphar was a eunuch, but it is very possible, and it would also explain the promiscuous behavior of his wife. Now, to be clear, that is not excusing her behavior, zero at all. It is, you know, I tell every married man, now this is, I've tried to be delicate with this, right? Every married man, I deal with men, I don't deal with women in this topic to a great degree, but if a man doesn't believe his wife is taking care of his needs, then you know what you should do? You should honor God, do what's right, and you don't have an excuse to have any other outlet. You understand this? What would we expect of single young men? We would expect them to honor God and do what's right. Whether or not your needs are being met at home, honor God. I bring that up because it's super fascinating with that word officer, right? So the word officer is a good translation because most of the time, the high-ranking officials in the Egyptian palace were eunuchs. Super, super fascinating. So now let's just walk through this. I want to show you just a few things. God's hand on Joseph. God's hand on Joseph. It is so fascinating. Just let me just remind you. Here's what's interesting. Joseph became the second in command in Egypt. But that was 22 years after training in Egypt. Now, I also find this interesting. When we saw Joseph in chapter 37, he's walking around with his coat of many colors. Doesn't look like he's kind of wearing the shepherd's gear, right? So God kind of had him in an administrative task already, which his brothers couldn't stand, right? So Joseph was already being trained by God for administrative skills that would ultimately be used greatly for God's glory. But I want to remind you of this. What was he for? You know, because there's more years that happen before he gets to Pharaoh, right? Because he spends a couple years in jail, you know, after the dream, right? What was Joseph for at least 14 years before he got in to see Pharaoh? He was a slave. He was a servant. And I remind you of these scriptures, Jesus speaking, right? I didn't have them on the screen, but just listen, you're familiar with them. Matthew chapter 20, verses 26 to 28. It says, "But it shall not be so among you, but whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and give his life a ransom for many." Remember, the Bible says that Jesus became, I want to quote it correctly. Let me just, because it's Philippians 2, I should know it by heart, but I want to just quote it correctly. It says, took upon himself the form of a servant. Jesus came to serve. Remember in John 13, where he girds himself with a towel and he washes the apostles' feet? He said, I'm showing you the spirit that you need to have. I want you to be a great leader for God? Learn to serve. Learn to be a nobody. Learn to be a servant. And be patient. God will put you where he wants you to be. You don't have to accelerate it. You know what's going to be the greatest part of heaven? Serving the King. Just being with the King. Just hearing the King. But we're going to be able to serve the King. You know, it is, just don't forget that, because as Joseph, as we go through his story, but just look at verse 2 here. And the Lord was with Joseph. Again, I wonder if Joseph felt it. And it said, and he was prosperous. I wonder if Joseph felt prosperous, but the Bible said Joseph was prosperous. That what he touched, it was good. It turned into something good. And, you know, we can expect that from God. He'll use you. But maybe in the craziest circumstances, do not discount God. If we just simply obey, God will use us, and He is God. He delights in using us. Do not compare yourself to anybody in this room. That's the worst thing you can do. I remind you all the time, I am not preaching my personality. You don't have to have my personality to be used of God. As a matter of fact, my personality isn't all it's cracked up to be. I know it looks like fabulous. Just kidding. But I'm just telling you, I used to envy personalities all my life. And what I finally realized is, God gave me this personality. I need to submit this personality to Him, and I need to trust that He'll use this personality. I'm terrified tomorrow night. I want this meeting, but I don't. You know, I ask for it, and I'm like, what am I doing? I'm meeting with Isaiah tomorrow. And it's sort of like this. You know, my kids are raised, and there were times I knew. You know, Deb would call. And this didn't happen most of the time. She would deal with it, you know, and it wasn't like when your dad gets home. But there was occasionally when your dad gets home. You know, be coming home. You know, I'm going to put a whooping on my kids. Such a whooping on my kids that's going to be godly, not abusive, but they will never forget. And then I would calm down, possibly. But I want to put a whooping, if I can, in love. And I'm terrified. I want Isaiah to feel loved, but you know what? I don't want him to continue wasting his life. And you're doing a great job, and I'm tired of him just frustrating you. And that's really my great motivation. I'm putting a 2x4 in my trunk. But I want to do it in love, but I'm so terrified. I beg God. If he doesn't show up or if that meeting's canceled, you know this. I wasn't ready. You know that. I won't be disappointed. I'll be like, I'm so glad. Ron, you'll have to do it. And I want to do it in love, but I'll just tell you this. I want him to hear a different voice. And I think he's kidding himself, and I hope I'm wrong. I'm going to ask Isaiah tomorrow night, why do you think I'm here? I mean, because I've got to calm down just a little bit, right? I'm going to be like, you know, and so when I want to act loving, I you know, why do you think I'm here? Right? And so I'm going to try to act loving, right? It'll be like, you see one wrong thing, buddy, I'm going to deck you. No, that'd be sin, wrong, don't be a brawler. And I want to get some sense into him spiritually, right? In love, you understand this? He doesn't know me, though. That's what's, you know, he doesn't know me. Fee, fi, fo, fum, man, I smell the blood of I don't know. But, you know, I want to help this young man. I want him to be prosperous. I want him to know what life's about. I want him to love the Lord. I want him to enjoy it. And you pray for me. You pray for me. 4:30. You think about that. Man, if God stirs your heart at 4:30, you must know this. Pastor's not ready. He needs me to pray. Because I don't want to hurt this young man at all. But I don't know. Joseph was prosperous. Did he understand that? I love this. I mentioned this earlier. Look at verse 3. Verse 3, and his master saw that the Lord was with him. You know, I'm so convinced that I told you this early in my introduction. And that he says, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. It's because Joseph would constantly talk about the Lord because Joseph was a true believer in the Messiah. Joseph understood that the only way he would have his sins removed is faith in the Messiah. That the Messiah is God, the Messiah would be born of a virgin, the Messiah would die in my place and rise again. And wherever Joseph would be, he would talk of God. And let me tell you, I bet it was probably irritating to Potiphar at first. Potiphar was no dummy. Potiphar realized, whoa, things are getting better here. You know, the Bible talks about that. The Bible says, you know, to Abraham, he said, I'll bless those that bless you, I'll curse those that curse you. And I do believe I'm grafted into the Abrahamic covenant as a believer, and I believe this, wherever I go, God will bless those that I'm around. I told you when I worked at Procter & Gamble, I never said this before, but I always thought when I went to a new team, I'd be like, what have you guys done right? Not because of me, I just knew this. God's blessings ooze from us. Somebody bumps me, I'll be like, whoa, man, that's probably something good that came off of me. You know, because I'm a child of the King. Right? You got to understand that, right? Don't you think Elon Musk walks around going, I could help you if I wanted. I got more oozing from me than Elon Musk ever wanted. Because I'm a saved man. And God will bless those that are around me. And he'll use us. We got to expect that. It has nothing to do with you. You see, if you think it's you, then you've missed it. But it's because of our great God. We should expect God to use us. And we should expect it'd be so obvious that it'd be like, whoa, something's different. Because of our great God. If you thought I was talking about me, I wasn't talking about me. That's our great God. Do you understand that? And Potiphar glorified God in his heart. There's no evidence that Potiphar was ever saved. But I'll tell you this. maybe amongst all the gods that he thought, but he acknowledged, he saw that the Lord was with Joseph. That's impressive. Do people see that the Lord is with you? You ought to put yourself on the spot enough that you're talking about the Lord, that people will either know that you are or are not his. A lot of pressure when you do, but I'm telling you this, people ought to see that God's with you. And it's all about God, not about you. And that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. Look at this, verse 4. He says, and Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer over his house, and all that he had he put into his hand. Now, I've told you this before, so I won't linger on this. Joseph was given greater responsibility. And I mean, you know, I remember, you know, I think I've told you this story before. When I started working at Procter & Gamble, they gave me this little piece of paper. It was the first year. Like first 3 months, job enrichment, job enlargement. They wanted to say, what will make you a happier man? What can we give you, you know, in terms of greater responsibility? I told you what I did, right? Got a Sharpie. Put a big dollar sign on it, turned it in. HR came to me and they said, well, you know, we can't really accept this. I said, I want you to keep that in my file. I said, oh, I can blah, 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 blah. I said, I can fill that piece of paper out. I said, show me the money. I said, I'm not interested in more responsibility. I'm interested in more money. You want to make me happy? More money. But, I mean, okay, I'm not saying that's not what you should do. But let me just tell you this. When you do a great job, you're going to get less responsibility or more responsibility. And usually what comes with that is more pay. I was trying to figure out less and more, but it's this. That's the blessing of God. You serve the Lord in little things, and he'll give you a little more. Give you a little more. Give you a little more. Don't you dare take that negative attitude that I had. You know, I'm just telling you this. I look back, and I'm like, what a moron. I'm glad they didn't fire me. They probably wanted to, but they're like, he's only been here 3 months. And, you know, because I thought I took a sacrifice. I took $3,000 less a year when I went to Procter & Gamble, right? I was like, I'm suffering for you. And I didn't get the concept. It's a biblical concept. One of the greatest blessings God could ever do for you is give you more responsibility and give you more just the privilege to serve him in ways you could never imagine. But I think so many Christians had the attitude, oh, Stevie boy, that said, I don't want any more. I want heaven. And I don't want anything here on earth. I don't want any responsibility. That's called sin. You serve the Lord, you'll get more responsibility. Let me help you with this. Joseph, he could have complained. Now it's pretty obvious why I wasn't Joseph. I'd have been like, what? I'm a slave and you're giving me more. God kept Joseph busy. You know what happens with idle time? Well, no, I'm so unhappy. Just not that deep. Well, it's good to be busy that you only have time to complain. He gave Joseph more responsibility, and Joseph could just have more interaction with people, and I think Joseph would have been talking about the Lord. But understand this. The great blessing of God is not that you have nothing to do. The great blessing of God is that he might trust you and he might use you. And I'll tell you, there's nothing better. Nothing better. That's God's ways, and God blessed Joseph. And then, look at this. I love this. He blessed Potiphar. And it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer over his house and all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. He blessed Potiphar because of Joseph, and it sort of fits into just what I've mentioned already. And then I do this as we're heading into this, that Joseph, look at this, and he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, that he knew not aught he had save the bread which he did eat. That's trust. That is trust. One thing Christians ought to be, we ought to be trustworthy, because my entire eternal life is that Jesus is trustworthy, that I can trust him, that he will do what he said he would do, and that he will remove my sins, and that he will save my soul. And if I want to represent the king well, then I ought to be trustworthy. Work on it. Work on it. Now let's look at temptation from the devil. I say temptation from the devil because that's exactly what it is. Temptation from the devil can come in all kinds of varieties. It can come in this woman here. It can come in, you name it. The devil has a temptation for you. And he knows your weakness, and he understands it. I think, I want to take you over to Proverbs chapter 7. Proverbs chapter 7. And I won't expound on this a lot, but this is really for anybody that's sitting here and you think you're smarter than God and you think you can fool around and you think it could work out, right? I know. I'm just going to read this. It's a little rough just reading it. Proverbs chapter 7, I want us to begin with verse 6. This is anybody, male or female, that you think you can go and not do things God's way and it'll be okay. It's not. Proverbs chapter 7, verse 6. This is talking to young men, but it can apply to women as well. For at the window of my house I looked through my casement. Proverbs 7, 7. And beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths, a young man void of understanding, passing through the street near her corner, and he went the way to her house, in the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night. Nobody will see me. And behold, there met him a woman with the attire of an harlot and subtle of heart. She is loud and stubborn. Her feet abide not in her house. Now is she without? Now in the streets? And lieth in wait at every corner. Every corner there's somebody to take you down. So she caught him and laid a big one on him and kissed him. And with an impudent face said unto him, I have peace offerings with me. This day I have paid my vows. It's all positive. It's so wonderful. Therefore came I forth to meet thee, diligently to seek thy face, and I have found thee. You're the only one. I have decked my bed with coverings of tapestry, with carved works, with fine linen of Egypt. I have perfumed my bed with aloe, with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love into the morning. Really, lust is not love. Let us solace ourselves with loves. For the good man is not at home. He has gone a long journey. He hath taken a bag of money with him and will come home at the day appointed. With her much fair speech, she caused him to yield. With the flattering of her lips, she forced him. He goeth after her straightway as an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks, till a dart strike through his liver, as a bird hasteth to the snare, and knoweth not that it is for his life. Look, I read that passage as a warning. Don't you think the night will be sweet? Ask David. What a night. David paid for it for the rest of his life. I warn this old man looking in the mirror. You know what I found about old men? It's like this. It's like we forget that we look decrepit and old. You know? And it's good for me to be like, what? I told my wife today, I said, if I dyed my hair, she pulled up this picture and she said, oh, look at that young man. I turned around, it was me, and I'm like, pfft. And I said, if I dyed my hair, man, I would look just as good. And she gave me this look like, not really. And I'm like, what? And so, here's what we need to admit. I don't have it and never did. I just got a woman that loves me. I'm so glad about that, right? Don't be foolish. I will tell you, every time you see somebody fall, it should humble your soul. I also want you to know this. Yesterday is yesterday. You turn from your sin and you turn to the Lord and He'll make you fresh. I tell everybody that blew it yesterday, you can honor Him today. I'm not here to make you miserable. I'm not here to beat you up. I'm not here to say you're a second-class citizen. I'm just telling you this. We don't obey God's ways. It's like a dart in the liver. But boy, it sure doesn't seem that way when the night is sweet. Sin never works out. And you pray for me. I hope I'm never a fool. Better men than I have been so foolish. At my age, you ever look at old guys and you say, what in the world? And they were servants of the Lord. Something happened in this old heart and then it acts out on it. So you better manage the heart, better manage the thoughts. And so I'm telling you, it is Joseph. Joseph is a great example for us tonight. Now let's look at the temptation. Potiphar's evil wife. And understand this. I think Potiphar's wife, now you say, you're making this up. I think she was gorgeous. You're a top dog in Egypt. You're going to pick some ugly woman? Okay. All I'm telling you is, I don't think Joseph goes, and look how ugly you are. How can I do so great a sin? If you're lost, what? You want Barbie or you want, you know, Barky? Right? I'm just telling you, when Joseph... Okay. It ain't that... When Joseph... That was spontaneous. I wish it wasn't good. I don't. But it's this. It is, I'm just telling you that when she offered herself, Joseph's a single young man. Later when we get there, I'll tell you earlier, when it said that God showed mercy on Joseph, I think Joseph had some faults. And then God kept him from acting out on them. Why would it say God showed mercy? He shows mercy when we don't get what we deserve. And I praise the Lord, right? We can learn much from Joseph. But I just want you to know this. I don't think it was as easy as we make it. Joseph knew no one. His family wasn't around. And he honored God. I love it. Joseph's godly response. Let's just read it again. I love it. She said, lie with me. But look, he refused and said unto his master's wife, behold, my master doesn't know what is with me in the house and hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I. I don't think he was bragging. He understood. I have been given great privilege and great authority. And let me tell you, he wasn't feeling like a slave. He said, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee. Sort of like the Garden of Eden. You can have of all the fruits of the trees of the garden except the one in the midst. And Potiphar said, Joseph, whatever you want, I trust you. You want filet mignon? You can have filet mignon. You know, whatever it was. Don't you mess with my wife. And he said, there is none greater than I in the house, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Whew. What a testimony. What a testimony. Now, some will disagree, but I want you to show Joseph's mistake. Now, I've read that some will blame Potiphar's wife. So here's the mistake. Let's look at verse 10. It came to pass, as she spake to Joseph day by day, that he hearkened not unto her. Praise the Lord, that's not the mistake. He hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men of the house there with him. Now, I've read some that say that Potiphar's wife worked this, because maybe there were men that were always in the house, and he knew that he would always be kind of in a setting that he wasn't alone. So maybe. But he should have known. He had a woman that was not letting up. He went into the house just then. You know where I'm at. I'm going to just remind you about this again. Never be alone with a woman, and you'll find that you'll be blessed. The Bible says it's good for a man not to touch a woman. And it is, just don't. You know, I mean, sometimes I'm here, my mother-in-law's here, but maybe that's not an exception, but trust me, it's all good. And all testimony, but it wasn't that anyway. It wasn't that. So sometimes I've wondered, should I not be in here? My mother-in-law is in her Sunday school room? Maybe. But she's here a lot, but there'll be no other exception. We had somebody come early last night, and she said, should I wait till Deb's here? I said, wait till Deb's here. And I'm just not going to do it. It's not because I'm tempted. You understand that? It's for testimony's sake. It's for testimony's sake. Don't be a weirdo and think, oh, it's because you're so tempted. No, it's testimony's sake. It's honorable. You know this? You want to teach your girls the only man that you're ever allowed to be alone with is your dad until you get married. You know? You won't get in trouble that way. You know, I love this. Joshua and Rachel weren't that happy when they were dating, because I said, Joshua, you'll be here whenever you're going to see Rachel. She's not going out with you and being alone. They could go out to eat, right? And if they wanted to do, you know, evil things, they could, but I knew they wanted to do what's right, so I'm like, I'm your helper. And so, you know, they were there. And I said, hey, not going down to the basement, sitting here in the public areas. They'd be like, Dad, how come you have binoculars? They're like, just making sure everything's good. No, I didn't. But they were in public areas. Don't let them go to the basement. They weren't alone. And I said, hey, when I go to bed, you're leaving. Give you 2 minutes outside there, right? I'm opening the door. You know? I mean, I don't know. You guys, I love this. You know, maybe they did a little smoochy, but, you know, I don't know. But I didn't want that, you know? So, look, you can say no. But I told them this, I'm going to help you. And man, Rachel got, you know, I don't know why you don't trust me, you know? And but it's like, I love this. They said, we teach our people that. Exactly what we're going to do with our kids. Help your kids, right? And help your kids. Joseph's mistake, whether it was his mistake or Potiphar's wife's plan, it was God worked it out for good. You understand this? God worked it out for good. Evil's persistence. Look at verse 12. And she caught him by the garment. Got to understand this. We need to have victory day by day by day. You think the devil's going to give up on attacking you? The Bible does give this. You know, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. On Monday afternoon, Monday evening, late Monday, middle of night, Tuesday, you know, I don't know how often, but you submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Because evil will keep coming after you. And so we just got to be careful that we're like, dun, 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 dun. You know, it's enjoy the victories that God gives, but you also know this, evil's coming back. Evil's coming back. And so the persistence of evil. And then I want you to understand this. The evil of evil. I don't have that as a point, but did you see how she turned on him? You know, I love watching other people be foolish, right? Because, you know, they'd be like, come, we'll have sweet love until the morning. And if you don't do every single thing I say for the rest of your life, oh, you're in trouble. Anybody that would do evil with you, you think you can trust them? I've seen people and it's like, well, you know, I know I cheated, but I can trust them. Are you thinking? And I'll tell you this, evil gets evil when they've got you. When you're sneaking around and you think nobody knows, they know that too. And they'll try to rule your life with it. You know what you need to do? Come clean. Turn to God. Repent and do what's right. Because I will tell you this, they will hold you hostage. Look, I'm just preaching the next chapter. But I will tell you this, it's not worth it. You following me? We are in a world that has no boundaries at all today. I want you to fall before God tonight if you're having some bad thoughts and just repent of those thoughts, and it begins in your thoughts and it begins in your heart, and say, God, rip them out of my heart. There's no place for that. There's no place for that. It'll destroy you. It'll destroy your family, and it never works out in the end. Sometimes it takes a while. And then I want to show you Joseph's wisdom. Look at verse 12. His wisdom. I was picking on him for his mistake. And she caught him by the garment, saying, lie with me. And I'm telling you, she probably wrapped it up and said, you ain't getting out of here. Right? I don't think he was like, I think I'll leave my garment. I think I'll leave my robe. I think I'll leave my robe. That would be a great idea. But she had such a grip, she said, lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand and fled, and he got out. Oh, I'll tell you, he was giving us some preview of some New Testament Bible verses where it says this in 1 Corinthians 6:18, flee fornication. And you know what that means sometimes? Run. Run. Literally, run. 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 It's just not a spiritual sprint. Sometimes you got to run, and Joseph ran. Flee fornication. You know, there's very few fleas in the Bible. It says in 1 Corinthians 10:14, wherefore my beloved, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. It says in 1 Timothy 6:11, but thou, O man, flee these things, fleeing the pursuit of riches, right? And then 2 Timothy 2:22 says, flee also youthful lust, but follow after righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. I want you to understand this. You should not leave depressed tonight that you have issues. You should leave if you are discouraged, if you are not turning those over to the Lord and you are not battling every day. I want you to understand this. It is submission to the Lord. It's not trying harder. It's submitting to the Lord, and it's this simple. I'm not trying to oversimplify. Just don't do it. But you got to stop thinking about it. If you're a believer, you can walk away. It's that simple. And sometimes you have to run away. Joseph showed great wisdom. He ran away. And then I mentioned this with evil's persistence, with evil's vengeance. She lied on him. She just told something that wasn't true. And I'm gonna say this. I think Potiphar knew what his wife was. Because you know what Joseph deserved and what Potiphar could have had done? Death. Why did he send him to the king's prison? I think Potiphar, man, Joseph had served him for 11 years, had been faithful. And he probably trusted Joseph more than his wife because she didn't look very trustworthy. God blessed him. But I will tell you, evil's vengeance, you want to play with sin? Sin has a side that we don't understand, and it's ugly. Evil has vengeance. I want you to look at verse 21, and I'm not far from a close. But the Lord was with Joseph. I mentioned this, and God showed Joseph mercy. I don't know what that mercy was about. I gave you one theory what that mercy was about. But you know what we need? Somebody prayed this tonight. I don't remember this, and I love the prayer. They said, oh God, show Pastor mercy. Man, I need the mercy of God. I need the grace of God. I will tell you, I've enjoyed, I've loved Psalm 84 just ringing in my mind. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly no good thing. The inverse is, he might withhold some things from you if you don't walk uprightly. But no good thing will God withhold from them that walk uprightly. I want to walk uprightly because it honors the King. And I want all the good things to come my way so that, you know, one of the most difficult things is when bad things happen and you're not walking with God. Because you're like, well, I mean, you can't ever learn and be strengthened because walk with God when bad things happen. I want you to have this confidence. God is strengthening me. Don't then question everything about God. If you're walking with God and you have tough times, be encouraged. The Lord strengtheneth you and He cares for you. God's not just messing with you. He loves you beyond anything you can imagine, particularly if you're His child. But I'll tell you this, it's rough when bad things happen and you're not walking with God. But I do love this. He'll work all things out together for good. Should we sin that grace abound? God forbid. And then I want you to see this. I want you to see this. Joseph was given even greater responsibility. He's sent to the jail. Look at verse 22. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison. And whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. Now, I'm going to imagine that it was very similar to the consequence of a Roman jailer. If the prison wasn't run right, guess what would happen to the jailer? Off with your head, right? And that's how much this jailer trusted Joseph. And then finally, I love this, verse 23, the keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand. Sounds like Potiphar. Because the Lord was with him. And that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. Joseph still has some puzzling, just tough times. That he could say to his brothers, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. I don't know, you know, that's going to be, you know, I'm just going to hug Andrew and tell him, love you and I'm praying for you. There's nothing I can say. There's nothing I can say. I can't make sense out of it at all. I have more confidence in Andrew Tooney. That guy is one of my favorite all-time guys. If you ever met this guy, you'd go to church. I'll tell you this story. I'll finish with this. Andrew's the guy. Did I tell you we went to a Speedway one time? Did I tell you this story before with Andrew Tooney? I can't stand the guy. We went to Speedway, and I said, I'll buy your soft drink or whatever it was. And he asked the guy, he reminds me of you. Gets on my nerves. No, but... Well, God's given you a gift. No, God's given you a gift with this, Johnny. I tell people this. You're either going to hate Johnny or come to church. God's given you a gift. I don't want you to miss that. God's going to use you in ways that I can't imagine. People listen to you, and you're making a difference. Don't you get the big head. Amen. But he reminded me of you a little bit because you say, hey, would you like to come to church? They'd be like, I would. I mean, I can't believe that you brought Pablo and Angie, and they were still in their workout clothes. Right? It's sort of like, I know. You asked. Yeah, I ignore it too much. Right? So we went to Speedway, and Andrew with the cashier goes, hey, our church is just back of yonder. Would love you to come to church with me on Sunday. And the guy goes, I'd like that. And I'm like, I will tell you, I am never buying you another drink ever again. This guy knows how to love people. And what he's going through, I can't understand. But I will tell you, we can trust God. What Joseph went through, oh, I see it, how it all works out wonderfully. 22 years. I think you would say yes to this, Don. Don, would you be willing to be sent over to China to be a slave for 22 years if that meant your family would be saved? You liar. Wait till the first day and they're just on the rock duty. You'd be like, I don't need to do this for my family to be saved. You know? I know when I say you liar. You would say that. I wouldn't. I don't love my family that much. God worked all things together for good for Joseph, didn't he? Nightmare 22 years. Let's trust God in all that he does. Let's pray. Father, I love this story. It's my all-time favorite story in true account, true history, true history. I don't mean to use the term like it's some kind of fiction. This isn't Disney. Father, forgive me. I pray I'll use better words so that our people will understand this is real. It happened. You are mysterious at times, how you work all things like this and how you loved Joseph through it all. We went through one chapter and it covered 11 years, so we didn't really see the 4,000 plus days, how he needed to just mortify the flesh daily and walk with you, but he did. You loved him. You prospered him. You were with him. Father, I pray we'll learn from this man that had tougher than anybody I know. Help us to be faithful. Trust you. You'll be with us. You'll use us for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Do you have any questions?